So we're going to get into our sermon here today. You know, just thinking back though about the weekend, we did talk about a lot of fun stuff, but you know, what I'm going to share about today is about living missional and just seeing what happened to some of those young lives Friday night when, you know, God touched them by His Spirit. There's so much hurt and there's so much pain, you know, in people's lives. I don't know about you, but that was the first opportunity I've had to minister to the youth, I think, in a year or two, because I stepped away from that and let other people take that over. And, you know, it was just a great opportunity, but you just see how, you know, to me, young people are facing a lot of things today that you and I probably, many of us older people, never had to deal with. And just the pain and all the things they go through. So, you know, we need to really pray for our young people and believe that God's going to really touch them, and we're going to need to turn this culture around. And that's really what I'm going to be talking about today, is the idea of living missional. Some of you may like go to the movies. I don't go as much as I used to. But how many like the movies Mission Impossible? I mean, those are pretty cool as a rule. Hey, that kind of rhymed, didn't it? Cool as a rule. Anyway, the idea would be Tom Cruise. Of course, there was an old one, and for those of you who are old enough, the original Mission Impossible series, but the movies, Tom Cruise would be offered a secret mission, which he had the opportunity to accept or reject, right? And he could always say no, but if he did, the movie would be over, wouldn't it? So he never really rejected him, and he accepted it. And then the mission would go on. It was kind of deemed impossible. And it was usually kind of really outrageous, some of the things they tried to do. And he and his team would kind of go behind enemy lines, and they would try to pull off some big thing and then get out of it without being, you know, caught or injured or anything. And to me, that sounds kind of familiar, because I don't know about you, but we're living in behind enemy lines right now. The God of this world, you know, had taken things over when Adam sinned. Now, we know Jesus came back to redeem it, but still, we're in a battle down here. And our mission that God has challenged you and I to do is the Great Commission. And it's not supposed to be the Great Omission. And I think about the mission as the church is not Mission Impossible, but I believe it's Mission Possible. You know, what God's called us to do and how He's called us to reach out to a lost and dying world. And I'm going to bring up some things. We've been talking about evangelism, I think, in and out through prayer and all the different series that we've been doing and things, is how we're supposed to influence people. And that's our mission statement, you know, is influencing people, leading them from where they are to where God wants them to be. And each of us can be a part of that. We just need to get people to take the next step. That's all we're called to do, and let God kind of worry about the results, because He's the one who can take care of it. A familiar passage we should be good with is Matthew 28, verse 18 to 20. Matthew 28, verse 18 to 20. And it says, "And Jesus come up and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples to all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the fact that, Lord, you have called us to the Great Commission, not the Great Omission. Lord, help us to be bold as lions and harmless as doves, Lord, to be able to step out in the things you've called us to do. Help us not to be ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God and the salvation. Lord, I thank you also for the anointing that's here today to be able to break every yoke of bondage, anything that's holding us back from your best. Lord, I thank you just for stirring us up on the inside as I yield to the gift you put inside of me. I pray for words that both pierce and penetrate to leave my lips, and Lord, the gifts of the Spirit to be in operation in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The main thing, the main thought I want us to see right now is when we live missional, we live on purpose and not by chance. A lot of people live by chance. Whatever happens, you know, I'm not a very good singer. I really miss Jimmy today, because I'm not a very good clapper either. He's out trapping, I think. But, you know, when Jimmy's here clapping, you know, things just clap better, I think. You know, he's awesome. You know, but, you know, just that thing that he carries and helped to bring us through. But, you know, I'm not a singer either, and that's more Amanda's job. But you know, you remember the song, Que Sera, Sera, whatever. Well, see, I'm not really hitting the right key either. But you know, Doris Day, I think she sang it. And for those of you that are young, she was an actress that could sing. Anyway, it kind of talked about just taking life and just letting things kind of go and, you know, whatever happens, happens, you know. But yet I believe that we need to live on purpose and not by chance. We need to have a plan for our life because life goes by so fast and there's so many things that, you know, we wish we would have accomplished, you know, and the things that we wish we would have done for other people, because people is really the most important thing. And that's why we need to have a love and a heart for people. So the first point I want to look at is that you and I need to think like a missionary. A little bit about my background. After I got saved, I was had a real heart for missions and would go on a lot of missionary trips, short-term missions. And my wife and I, we lived in Greece for 6 months. I'd been there several times and went over there and kind of fully intended to kind of live there and maybe make a, you know, try to, you know, do missionary work over there. But, you know, God really spoke to our heart to come back to Southern Iowa where I was born. I'd been living in Denver and come back to Iowa. But, you know, one thing that I learned through Bible school and then through some of the experience I've had on mission trips is the fact that we need to think like a missionary. And I want us to see today that not just missionaries need to think like missionaries, but I believe all of us in the Christian faith need to think like a missionary. We need to be somebody that sees the fact that God has put us here for a reason, and that was accomplished great thing for Him. Now, there's a difference. I'm just going to point out a couple things. There's a difference. I'm not want to step on nobody's toes right now, you know, but it does happen from time to time. Luckily, we know the healer. Amen. That's Jesus. But, you know, there's a difference between I go to church and I am the church. Amen. You know what I'm saying? You know, we need to get beyond the realm that we've done our duty by attending service. Now, don't get me wrong. We need to come together. We need to worship together. There's that corporate anointing. There's things that we can do when we come together. And the Bible says that part of my responsibility as a pastor is to be able to train you and to stir you up and then to, you know, set you free, amen, and let you go. So there is the part of coming here, but yet we need to see the fact that it's more than just coming. I'll be honest, the percentage of people that come to this church, a high percentage of them are involved in ministry in one shape or form. So I'm really happy with that. So we need to decide if we just want to come to church or we want to be the church, come do the church with me or come be the church with me. Now, I want us to see the fact that we're a sent one. That's what that's what an apostle was. Now, I'm not saying we're apostles, but as a Christian, we need to look at the fact that God has sent us. Now, I don't know about you, but I do believe that God has a plan for each and every person's life. And I also believe that you are here not by chance on this earth, that God placed you here at this time. You could have been born at any time. I'm thankful for indoor plumbing, amen? I don't know about you, but you know, it would have been tough 100, 200 years ago. You know, having to deal with some of the hardships our forefathers. I mean, right now we can hop in a car or a plane and we can be across the country in a plane really quick, but in a car it takes quite a bit longer. They just, you know, hopped on a horse or, you know, drove a wagon. And, you know, if winter came, it was tough. You know, so I'm thankful for the time that I'm born right now. And I do know that God has put me here for a plan. I don't know about you, but the greatest revelation that you're going to have is when you find out why God put you here. A lot of people live their life and they celebrate their birthday, and I've shared this before. They celebrate their birthday, that's the day they were born, yippee-yay-o-ay-a or whatever. But that's nothing compared to finding out why God put you on this planet. And when we find that out and we can get involved, it gives us a sense of purpose on the inside. And maybe you don't know what that is yet. Well, you just hang in there and pay attention and God will reveal it to you, amen? Be involved in church. I tried everything in the church. Except singing. Amen? I never did sing, although I did have to lead worship out in Bible school. But to be honest, I just moved my lips. Some other guys carried it for me, you know what I'm saying? So, I do sing. I make a joyful noise. I do like making a joyful noise. But I change keys all the time. It's just not my thing. But I'll tell you, there's some other things I'm halfway decent at. And I do those things. And that's how God has revealed through me to other people is when I step into the plan that He has for my life. And that anointing is there, and the grace is there that I'm able to accomplish that. So we need to see that we're not here by chance, but God has put us here for a reason, and we are a sent one, and that we are to reach the people while we're here. I'll be honest, when I'm dead, other than through the avenue of old cassette tapes or maybe CDs or digital, I will not touch another person. My only time of ministry is from the time I take my first breath to the time I take my last breath. That's the only opportunity that I have and you have to be able to reach people for Jesus Christ. And we need to take advantage of that. We need to see that we are here not by accident, and then we need to do something with it. Now, we need to find a way to be able to complete the mission that God has put us to. You know, and I believe a missionary, here's how they look at it. We need to hone our problem-solving skills. I'll be honest, I love to fix problems. I just love it. I love to have a problem and then try to cipher out and figure out just how I'll fix it. Well, I'll tell you what, there's a big problem out there in this world. And the problem is the fact that there's a lot of people, even within stone's throw, maybe I can't throw that far, but anyway, a little ways over there that don't know Jesus Christ. You know, so I need to figure out how I can fix that. And I'll be honest, it's not just my job, it's your job also. Because God has placed us all for a reason for such a time as this. And we need to learn and to be able to observe the culture because things are changing. The biggest problem the church has is we try to make them people like us and conform to here before they can be a part. That doesn't work. There's too many options for them out there today. So we need to think like a missionary. What can I do to reach them? What problem can I solve? Because you all have a gift. You all have something that God's put inside of you. What can you use that for to fix somebody else's problem? If you want to be important, start fixing problems for people. They'll chase you down. Just chase you down. Because people have problems and they want to get them fixed. And that's why we need to reach out and find out. Now, one of the problems that we try to do is we try to reach them all at one time. That usually doesn't work. But the solution to that is that when we live, we need to reach out, figure out, how can I reach a few? The odds are most of us, you know, in a sense, in this community, you're not going to reach 1,000 people all by yourself. I mean, you might. God may give you a creative plan. I don't know. I mean, Facebook helps. I mean, you might get 1,000 likes or something on something. But I mean, as far as a lasting experience, something where, you know, their lives are changed and, you know, there's some sort of thing happening there. You know, the odds are that we're primarily, as far as our personal witness, is that we're going to reach a few, hopefully more than a handful, but you know, we're going to reach some people. So we need to figure out, how can I reach them four or five people I know and I love, maybe some people that I work with that don't know Jesus Christ? Well, you know, God knows the answer to that, because God figured you out, didn't he? You know, somebody probably came to cross your path that said the right thing at the right time, and then you kind of got hooked and you got reeled in. You know what I mean? Because somebody did something for you, and you know, we need to do the same thing for everybody else. So when we live missional, we live on purpose and not by chance. My next point I want to look at is that we need to not only think like a missionary, is that we need to live like a missionary. And we need to engage culture and engage community. Now I'm going to go into something right here. This is something that, you know, was I've known for quite a few years, and I might even have shared it here before, I don't know. But, you know, when we engage culture, we're going to look at the macro and the micro. The macro is the big picture, and that's engaging culture. And then the micro is when we engage community. Community is the people that are around us that you and I can touch easily. Now, the macro is the idea, I don't know if you've ever heard of Lauren Cunningham or Bill Bright. Bill Bright's passed away, I believe. But Bill Bright started Campus Crusade. At one time, they were one of the largest ministries in the United States, if maybe not the world. And his philosophy is that they would go into colleges and they would reach out to young people and disciple them. And they had a real good plan. It wasn't just telling people about Jesus, but they'd actually reach these people, tell them about Jesus, and then they would discipleship them. They would give them Bible studies and help them mature and grow. And then Lauren Cunningham, he was the founder of Youth with a Mission, which we called YWAM. Now, they are some of the missionaries, they were affiliated with YWAM a little bit, that I ministered with in Greece. And, you know, they did a great movement. They went over around the world and would get young people, you know, who can get highly motivated and had a lot of energy, and they would go out and reach people for Jesus Christ. So those two guys, and all of a sudden, one day, it was back in, I believe, 1975. I don't know if I wrote that down, but I think it was around 1975. God spoke to them each, and they got together, and they shared what they felt that God told them, and God had told them each the same thing. So when they got together, they shared the fact that how God revealed to them there are seven mountains, yes, seven, or seven spheres of influence that the church has neglected much of the way. And we need to step out and we need to try to take back territory in that area. And I'm just going to share these briefly. Today I'm not going to go into them deeply, but I just want to share these, what we need to be aware of. And, you know, so I don't forget, these are seven areas that maybe we won't be able to, you know, change physically because we don't maybe have as much access, but spiritually you and I can pray, and they need to be areas that we're praying for. Okay, the first one is religion. And that's the church, and we can touch that. But the church needs to train and release people for ministry. If you think about this for a moment, hypothetically, on a good week, we may have access to people for 3 hours a week, hypothetically. You know, Sunday morning, and then you have, you know, Wednesday night, we do have a prayer meeting where we can get a little more there. But primarily, you know, on a good week, we may touch somebody's life for 3 hours. There's a lot of hours left in the day, aren't they? A lot of hours left in that week. What do we do with those hours? I know we got to work, we got to do some things, some odds and ends. But primarily, if we're living like a missionary, we need to look at ways that we can make a difference where we're at your workplace. Hopefully you're the go-to Christian they go to, amen? I want everybody at River Life to be the go-to Christian. When somebody has a problem, they know that somebody will pray for them. I want it to be somebody from this church. Because you let your light shine so much that they know that they have a problem, they can come and they can talk to you. And you're the one that's going to be able to help them. And see, that's the way that the church goes out and lives in a lost and dying world. We just don't turn it on here and then turn it off when we leave. Now, the second one is family. Now, family should be a no-brainer, but primarily, you know, it was God's first institution, and ever since Adam and Eve fell, Satan has tried to destroy the family. You know, I'm not sure the exact divorce rate now, but, you know, some say 50%, even with Christians and things like this. So there's a lot of attacks going on, bringing division between husbands and wives. And I'll tell you what, that brings a lot of pain to the children and all the things. And maybe you've had a divorce, no big deal to me. I mean, God can heal and forgive. So that's not where I'm going with this. But I'm wanting to say, if you're married now, you need to fight the good fight of faith. You need to stand strong in the power of His might and beat back that devil from your family. Because we need to be a light and a witness to a world that is living around us. And we need to be leaders and not followers. We need to lead the trend. We need to be the trend centers out in this community, in this culture, so that we can make a difference. Next one's education. I'm not going political here, so don't misunderstand what I'm saying. But, you know, some of the words are used similarly. So don't get all, I know election's coming up here, so I'm trying to be really careful. Well, maybe not that careful. But anyway, the next one's education. Liberal, anti-God thinking has taken over the education system. The churches remain silent. You know, we've turned that over. You know, one of the ways that Hitler and other dictators have tried to control their people is they first went into the schools and tried to educate the children along a certain worldview and frame of thought. So that when they got old, then over a process of time through several generations, it changed the whole dynamic of that culture. And really, that's what's happened in our culture to some degree. There's a lot of, you know, especially in the colleges. You know, the colleges is very difficult for somebody, especially for a Christian, and everything that some of them young people have to go through. And that's why Campus Crusade, and I don't remember if Navigators or different ones, if they're still around, but you know, a lot of these ministries have went into the colleges and tried to help the young people, because we try to do the best we can here at church, and we train the kids, you know, and hopefully they pay attention, but then they go off and they're with all their peers, and their influence is so strong, trying to pull them away. And so that's what happens. And I'll be honest, I don't know how many times I've had conversations with young people that said they went to college and the instructors or the professors, that's the word, They would come and they'd bring all these thoughts and all these anti-God and all these challenges to them that this young person wasn't maybe developed enough in their walk with God, so they couldn't defend themselves. And so they took a defeat right there. That's why we need to train our children up, so they can defend themselves, because they're out there in a world that doesn't love them and doesn't care. They say they care, but they don't. And the education system, even in the local public schools, can be very difficult. We live in a culture where there's a situation where a lot of the parents don't know how to be parents, so their kids go to school, and there's such a problem. Well, now the school has felt, you know, they stepped in to try to help out these kids who are in crisis, and which is maybe good in some ways. But what it's done, and the worst part of that scenario, is the fact that now they undermine the parents' authority. And they take away from the parents so that they can't be able to parent their kids because the school stepped in. It's a circle. Parents failed. The school steps in. Now they're undermining the parents, so it's just out of control, just spinning. And that's a culture. It's a sphere of influence. It's a mountain that you and I need to take back. Through parenting classes and through different things and teaching parents how they can better prepare their kids for the future. You know, there's a lot of, you know, things going on, you know, in the world that, you know, we can fix if we just band together and get a plan. You know, also in the education system, you know, through different liberal thoughts, they're trying to rewrite history. And they're changing the textbooks from things that you and I trained as were trained in as being fact. Well, now they're trying to rewrite it according to their slant, and it's changing things. And so kids are growing up in a different way. So that's why it's important that our kids have a strong foundation. You can never go wrong keeping your kids involved in church. That 4:14 window is very important. It's very important that we get them involved. And we touch their lives, because when somebody's touched spiritually by God, I believe they never really forget it. They may cover it up for a while. I covered it up for a while. But I do believe that it's there, and it's always something you can tap into and draw into. The next fear that we're going to look at is government. Government's kind of, it can be kind of messed up, can't it, you know? I mean, you got separation of church and state. And that's all good. I don't want the government telling what religion we should do. That's not their role, and that's why our forefathers came to this country to separate from England, because they had a state religion where everybody had to kind of be a part of that. But it shouldn't mean that a separation of state from God. You know, our country is founded on the principles, Christian principles and all these things, and, you know, I don't believe our forefathers ever intended that, you know, our country should kick God to the curb. I really don't believe that. And when they set things up, but yet that's kind of what happened, because do a certain things. That's why we need godly people running for office. We need them not to, you know, you can't legislate morality. I just want to go to that. You can't pass laws that legislate morality. I do believe that if we Christians are bold enough and we're living in our light, I believe in the anointing of the Holy Ghost, because that's what it takes to be able to touch somebody's heart. But yet, far as, you know, passing laws and doing all these different things, I believe there's enough wisdom in God's holy word that we could have a great country, because we did, and I believe we can have it again. You know, the Bible says righteousness exalts a nation. And that's what we need to have, is people who are willing to live righteously and govern righteously, you know, in the area of the government. The fifth one is media. This is a tough one for the church. You got movies, you got print, you got the news outlets. I'm not going to go into fake news today, but anyway, the news is against God in a lot of ways. They're anti-God and the things they do. And the enemy has really stepped in, and it's, you know, I don't know about you, if I go to a movie, I want to be entertained. That's the only reason I pay that kind of money, to go to a movie. I want to be entertained. I don't want to be taught some wild worldview that's anti-God or anything, where they slip that in. And, you know, how many knows they got to slip in the one either sex scene or nude scene in a movie? I mean, they used to try to do that just to kind of cover that base, you know? I don't need that. You know what I want? I just want to have fun. I just want to unplug my brain for a little bit, just go there, be entertained, go back out, and then fight the good fight of faith. You know, but that's not what's happened. We got a lot of people who are anti-God, who don't really acknowledge God. And they're in there, they're making these things, and the church has kind of remained silent till lately. You know, I'm so happy. You know, we have a lot of good Christian movies come that have been out that have really, you know, that God's Not Dead and other things, you know, that, you know, so some Christians are fighting back, you know, but to be a Christian in Hollywood, they say, is kind of difficult. So you got to stand there. It's almost, you know, it's very, very, very difficult to do, but there, many of them are doing that. Now, one thing I do like is the idea of social media. I do like Facebook, only for the fact is that I, in little town Albia, Iowa, can make a dent on this big world. Amen. You know, I can try to put a positive slant or things on thing and a godly slant on something where I can make a difference, where I don't have to, and I really feel that's helped our culture in some ways. I know there's fake posts and all that, but there's fake news too, right? I mean, we just got to acknowledge. I mean, the news outlets need to just report the news and not make the news on both sides. And that's just truth. You know, they just need to tell what's going on. They don't need to tell how we're supposed to do it. That's not their job as a news outlet. You know, but so the good news is that we as Christians can take Facebook and, you know, we can use that or other things, Twitter and stuff, and you can make a positive influence. I mean, I'm not saying put Jesus on your finger and cram it down their throat, but I'm just saying we can do some things to try to put some, that, you know, that God is a good God and how he's helped us and things like that. So I encourage you to take advantage of that. Next is arts and entertainment. This is number 6. And the idea there is, you know, music and dance, we're supposed to be, they're close to the heart of God. I mean, God in the temple, there's always singing, there was dancing before God, and the church kind of, some of them, you know, I'll be honest, I'm not a very good dancer either, as well as singer and clapper. So it's really not my area of expertise. But, you know, in the Old Testament, they just sang and danced like crazy, but then the church came along later, and a lot of them, you know, oh, you can't clap in here, you can't dance in here. You know, you can't do that, you can't have a band. So they chased everybody, you know, chased all that stuff away. Then you wonder why they're taking it over. We gotta go get it back. That's why we try to do drama here. That's why we try to do things to bring the arts and entertainment, you know, back to the church and back to the kingdom of God. You know, God's the one who created dance and music. And that's why we need to reclaim that. And you know, there's some really, I don't like to say this word much, there's some really perverted things in the arts and entertainment, you know, making statues that, you know, mock Jesus Christ and all these different things. You know, it's that wrong thinking that the devil's taken over that area and the church has remained silent. You know, thank God for those early Christian broadcasting stations and things like this, you know, because, you know, the world just kept going downhill, 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 and finally some church people wised up, and then they started doing that and kind of, you know, to help people, and that's really what it's all about. And then the last thing is business. The 7th, I think if I counted correctly, is business. Now, business is very important. You know, why is business a sphere that we need to take back? Well, I believe God has blessed some people to be great entrepreneurs and great business people, make a lot of money. And instead of spending that money on themselves, they do it to fund the kingdom. And that way we can reach more people with Jesus Christ. I don't know if you're aware, but it takes money to reach people sometimes. You know, we can do some free stuff on, you know, social media and odds like that, but still it takes money to be able to do things. So the church needs to take that back. And to be honest, money talks. Rich people sometimes call the shots, and if they're godly Christian people, hey, that's a good thing. Turning a community around and turning a culture around. You know, so those are the seven spheres that Bill Bright and Lauren Cunningham felt God spoke to them each, and that's good. So they and I know that we can't reach them, but what can we do from here? We can pray. We need to pray for each of these areas that God will raise up people in them areas. Next, we need to engage our community. You know, that's the micro. That means we need to do something local. You know, we need to let our light shine wherever it's the darkest. You know, go to dark places. You know, go to people who really need Christ. You know, Jesus said he didn't come for those who are healed, but those who need a physician. There's a lot of people in this world that need to know the truth about Jesus Christ and how important it is that you and I you know, make a difference, because we're not here by chance. You know, don't hide who you are. Don't go to work and be a secret agent. You know what I'm saying? You know, Tom Cruise, yeah, he had to hide it. He couldn't just go in a country, hey, here's my passport, I'm here. I'm here to save the United States or the world from you. So, no, he couldn't do it. He had to hide it. But we ain't supposed to hide it. We're not supposed to hide who we are. You know, we're a Christian. You know, and it takes more than wearing a t-shirt. You know what I'm saying? It takes more than wearing a t-shirt. You know, we need to live it around them and do it. And like I say, don't be so secret of an agent that God doesn't even know you're an agent. But also, yeah, I get a kick out of that one. But then also, don't be a double agent. Don't blend into the world. You know, God doesn't need our intel. God knows everything. We don't have to be a double agent and go into the world and play like the world just so we can win them. No, we go into the world, we make friends with them, but we don't have to act like them. We can show them there's a better way. I'll be honest, I'm not lying right here. I did a lot of stuff the world had to offer. I was a sinner. But I'll be honest, this life is better. This life is a lot better. And, you know, and God, I thank God that He saved me. So we need to be an influencer around those that we see. So we need to live intentional or missional and live on purpose and not by chance. Now my last one, oh, there's the clock. I lost it. Oh, I'm going a little longer today, aren't I? Love like a missionary. Serve those who you're called to. You know, you may not go to a foreign land, but you can go to your friend and neighbor and, you know, get a plan how you can win them. You know, we still need to give money to missions and maybe go on short-term trips. That's important. But, you know, we need to be an extra mile person. You know what that is? Jesus talked about it. You know, go the extra mile with people. And we need to love people who may not love us back. And that happens. You know, a lot of times it's quid pro quo, right? I think I need a drink of water to say that one again. Getting a little dry. Quid pro quo. You know, that means I'll do something for you if you do something for me. You know, but if you don't do something for me, I'm not going to do nothing for you. That's not the Christian way. The Christian way is so. It's not quid pro quo. We need to just sow and keep doing the things that Jesus told us to do and let God give the increase, because when we live missional, we live on purpose and not by chance. And I just want to encourage us today. The fact of the matter is that, you know, God is looking to and fro across the earth. His eyes are looking for somebody that is willing to step out and to step up and let God use him or her. And I believe there's people in this room that God wants to use in a greater way. I know that you have so much potential. There's so many giftings and talents inside of you. And I want us to be loosed and released, not just to do it in here, but to really do it out there. And I believe God can, you know, you're going to have so much fun when you get under an anointing by God. When you start to do what God's called you to do and that anointing starts to hit you and you start to go, and you're just going to experience God in such a deeper way. It's powerful. Amen. Let's pray.